As Pastor Tom mentioned that last night, it was a big success. We just count, maybe just roughly, the number of new students coming to attend a party is around 80 to 90. It was wonderful. So maybe the first step toward a whole year of spiritual battle, try to wrest them, the lost soul, from Satan to the kingdom of Christ. So please pray for that. And I was asked to speak a message to the seekers, because it is the Sunday right after the welcome party. So the message I chose is what really satisfies in your life. This is a shorter version because the time constraint here is tough, so I'm going to cut a lot of things out, as usual. I wonder how many of you know this word, hedonism. Raise your hand. Okay, most of you, okay, especially English speakers. Hedonism is one type of life philosophies. In fact, everyone has a philosophy, whether he knows that or not, he or she knows it. They have a life philosophy. This is actually their guideline of life. One of the types of life philosophy is hedonism. What a hedonist believer thinks, that is, the purpose of life is to maximize fun, pleasure, happiness. So the goal of life is to seek pleasure, happiness throughout the life. The more, the better. So that's the belief of hedonism. Is this the right attitude toward life? We're going to ask an expert to tell us. This expert is really qualified. He's rich, he's powerful, he has a lot of money. So he can enjoy anything he wants. Do you know his name? His name is King Solomon. He's a very most powerful king, very rich, very powerful, and a lot of wives too. So whatever wish he has, he can grant himself. And this mind is also very wise. He tried to enjoy life with a mind open and to try to see whether that really satisfies him. So today, we'll ask King Solomon to share his experience with us. An experience is recorded in the book called Ecclesiastes. Especially, we'll look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I'm going to break down this long passage into several major points, so in case you get lost, just remember what I'm going to tell you. First, we'll talk about experiments. We're doing experiment on happiness. Second one, how do we do the experiment? And what kind of channels of pleasure did he try to seek? He tried all the things. He's serious. He's doing very thorough experiments. He do all the things. And then, and finally, that, hey, there are wise people who seek pleasure. There's also foolish people. So you have to differentiate. And finally, and he'll tell us what's the real source of life satisfaction. So that is the order of my presentation today. Abish, could I ask you to bow heads and pray together? Dear Father, thank you for guiding us, brothers and sisters, to worship you. We pray that your Spirit speak into our hearts. We pray in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So the first one, we talk about an experiment. Could I ask brothers and sisters to read this out for us? Let's go. I said to myself, so right at the beginning, in the first three verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 2, he already set out his purpose. What's his purpose? His purpose is to see what was good for people. What was good for people to go under the heaven during the few days of their lives? Life is short. How do you use it? And that's the purpose, his experiment. And how do you do that? He said, I'm going to test myself and experience different kind of pleasure. How do I feel? And all through this process, what I say, my mind is still guiding me with wisdom. I open my eyes. Not just I feel it, I think about it, I reflect about it, so that I can share the results of my experiment with you guys. So it's doing an experiment. So let's see, that's the purpose. Let's see how his conclusion. Conclusion is actually very, and let me tell you the conclusion right away. He said, doing all these things is just like meaningless and chasing after the wind. If you pursue this path of happiness, you feel that you're very empty. He said, I tell you so, because I have been there. So he'll show us the different paths he've taken to experience life. So we talk about the channels of pleasure. How do you seek pleasure? Fun, having fun. The pleasure of the flesh, or being rich, or maybe even have a good career. So we go one by one. The first one is to have fleshly pleasure. Let his body indulge. What he said, I design myself nothing my eyes desire. Whatever I want to see, I'll see. I refuse my heart no pleasure. Everything I want to do, I let myself go. So this is really powerful. He can do whatever he wants. Because he's rich, he's powerful. He said, I do whatever I want. Let's see how it feels. All right? Eating, drinking, and dining. Of course, we want to eat, right? Whenever we go to a certain city, when we go to New York, we always ask, what is the best restaurant? We go to a new city, yeah, give me some recommendation. I want to taste it. Yes. All this is nice. We're not saying that you should not have good food. But Solomon will tell you, by that, it will not really satisfy you. Yes, it gives you some initial excitement. But by itself, it doesn't satisfy. In fact, I tell you so. Why? Because I eat more than you do. You know how much thing he eat every day? Let's see his menu, okay? Of course, it's not just him. He doesn't have a big mouth. But he shares with a lot of people. But look at his daily provisions. Let's read it out, please. Ten heads of cattle, 100 sheep, goats. Can you swallow them? All? But he is rich. He can have a lot of things he wants. What he wants to eat, he can. He actually wine and dine a lot of time. But his conclusion, it will not satisfy you. You know that everybody wants to dine wine, right? Want to have good life. But you better be careful. If you have too much, you have high cholesterol, right? And you may have died. A lot of people die. One of the major sources of death is what? Heart disease, right? So don't just eat a lot, okay? On one hand, it doesn't really satisfy you, as King Solomon told you. At the same time, there are a lot of side effects. Okay, don't eat too much. It's good to enjoy life, enjoy some food, but not indulge in that. So he said, that's not the way to go. How about wives? Yes, many. How many he has? He has 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines. So cunning wives, he has a lot. He said, I also test that. I do have this also fleshly pleasure to test it. I have many. But he said, my conclusion to you is that the same. It's not going to satisfy you. I know that. You know that a lot of movie stars, their man and woman relationship is all mixed up. Very, very complicated relationships, right? They are engaged in the relationship, intimate relationship, everywhere with anybody. But you know that few of them actually have had marriages. When I study their autobiographies, many of them actually, they die single. Very lonely. Although they indulge a lot of displeasure, but actually feel emptiness. They feel a deep sense of loneliness and meaninglessness. So this kind of thing will not satisfy. For someone I've tried it myself, I'll tell you, I think you know that. That's the patterns. If you try to indulge yourself in fleshly pleasure, that's the pattern. First, the first taste is always good. Excitement. But after a while, it doesn't excite anymore. Then what happened? Then you want more, right? You want to increase the dosage to stimulate yourself more. As you increase and keep increasing, you want more, what happened? Then sooner or later you feel jaded. You have no feelings at all. And then, what do you conclude? It's emptiness. People take drugs. Initially, they try marijuana or other light drug. Oh, feel good, high. After a while, it doesn't excite. Then what happened? You have to elevate the level. You take more potent drug, right? And it's still need more. Okay, I feel good now. But as you take more and more happen, you keep high, and then they lose the sense, excitement anymore. Especially when you're not high, when you're out, you're low. And that big contrast is very terrible. It's meaningless. Chasing after the wind. These kind of things will not really satisfy you. As King Solomon concludes, is a meaningless path. You're just chasing after. What do I mean by chasing after the wind? You try to grab the wind, you thought you got something in your hand, but when you grab it, there's nothing. Vanity, vanity, emptiness. And this is shared by you by someone who's most qualified because he has been there. Okay, he said, all right. I'll try another one. How about getting rich? If I'm a billionaire, maybe I'm happy. Now, there's something good about rich, right? Being rich, right? First, you can buy whatever you want to. You can have big house, big car, Rolls Royce, all right? And then you're idolized. People worship you. And you're being recognized because you're so successful, right? You can even be politician, right? Donald Trump. So you can be powerful, famous. So it's good to be rich, billionaire. Now, no matter how you try, I will tell you that you'll not be as rich as Solomon. He's real rich. Have you watched a movie called Solomon's Treasure? There's a real movie called Solomon's Treasure. People try to dig up a lot of treasure hidden somewhere. So Solomon's rich, being rich. So let's read that together. I bought Solomon is one of the richest men in history, period. He has a lot of silver and gold. Not just that, he had cattle, livestock, a lot, even slaves. This guy is really rich. That's why I think King Solomon's Treasure, there's a movie. If you want, you can watch that. It talks about how people try to find his treasure. But you thought rich is good. Actually, rich people has a lot of trouble. Sorrows. Do you know this? Richards know that? Oh, shame on you, Richard. That's a Hong Kong issue. Don't know that. This is Lee Ka Sing. This is the richest person in Hong Kong. Not just richest Hong Kong. He's one of the top richest person in the world. Lee Ka Sing. What's his sorrow? Everywhere he goes, he must have a bodyguard. Because at one time, his son was kidnapped. He has to pay a big ransom to get his son out. Rich people have worries that they do not share with you. Now, you don't need to know these guys. You must know these guys, right? Who is this? Jeff Bezos. Who is he? the king of Amazon. Amazon is just so powerful nowadays. Everything we buy is Amazon Prime, right? It's great today, one day, free mail. So everybody now is the slave of Amazon. You buy stuff online, it's go through Amazon. And this is rich. This is one of the richest person in the world, period. You know what? Last year, he split up with his wife. He's a divorce. He has to share a good chunk of his wealth with his wife. I tell you, rich doesn't really bring happiness. King Solomon has been there already. And he told you the solution already. He told you the conclusion is just chasing after the wind. Meaningless, chasing after the wind. Hey, how about career? Now, those are things that's very selfish, fleshly desires, maybe money. That is too petty. Let's talk about something good. We do something good for society, we build a career, and you get famous, you get successful, and you can have a glorious career that will make you happy. Solomon said, I've been there too. You know, Solomon is very famous, right? And during his reign, Israel is at the peak time. The largest territory, very peaceful. Even the queen of Egypt came to kind of just, hey, what's going on? Why are you so good? He has international reputation, fame. Not just that, he really did that. He built a lot of things. Let's see what he built. Let's read it together. Let's go. So it means something. What's the bigger things that Solomon built? It's a Solomon temple, right? It's not just temple, glorious, lofty temple, but also it's useful because a lot of Israelites go there and worship God. It's meaning. It's useful. So it's not just building some empty building, but it really contributes to a lot of believers in Israel. But he told you, after all these big projects, what he feels is vanity, emptiness, chasing after the wind. Some of the researchers tried very hard every day to go back to do the experiment, and one day he got a Nobel Prize. Wonderful. But after 2 weeks, no feeling. He got a Nobel Prize, it's exciting. But after 2 weeks, he went back to experiment again. As he has got no Nobel Prize. Because the Nobel laureate, that prize doesn't really satisfy you. And you pay a big price. Every day you have struggled with a lot of things. You go back to experiment, the office, long hours working, a lot of pressure on your boss, funding, all these problems. You strive a lot of your lives. You sleep, you lose your health, you may even lose your family. You don't have balanced life. But what you get, the fame, the glory, the enjoyment, excitement, doesn't really satisfy you. And that's the conclusion of a big achievement, King Solomon. You know what? He also said something very ironic. He said, it's not fair. Let's read out what he said. Let's go. Let's read that together. I hate all the things. What did he say? He means that this world is not fair. You know what? I strive my whole life building a big business, making a lot of money, or building a big business empire, or get a lot of reputations, and all these kind of things when I die, Who should I pass on? To my children, to my descendants. And who knows? These guys did not try hard. I tried a whole life to get it, and they did nothing and inherited it. It's not fair, right? I earned it, but they did not earn it, but they inherited a lot of what I have. The first thing is not fair. They did not try it. Second one, the first one, they may not be as good as I. They may not be a manager. They can squander the world very quickly, right? There are very few family business that can succeed the second generation because the founder is bright. What happened? Their children are not as good. They manage well, not very wisely, and very soon, it died. So all my life building this empire, what happened? In the next generation, a fool managed that, and it's gone. Ironically, in fact, when you give them a lot, actually harm them. It's detrimental to their life because they have so much they do not fight for. It's not good for character building. You know this one, this person? Who is he? Jackie Chan, of course. Even you see Jackie movie, right? Jack is very rich, very powerful, successful film star. Very rich. It is also because of his fame, the Chinese government view him as one way to promote. Promote something very good. Anti-drug. Don't take drugs. So this is a campaign against drug. So he is just an ambassador to fight against drug dealing. Lacoste. Drug taking. Who is this guy? His son. His son was arrested in Beijing. And he was arrested in an apartment where his son took drugs with several of his friends. That is his son. So the father's reputation as the spokesman of anti-drug campaign is totally tarnished. Giving a lot to your children may not be good to them. It may ruin their lives. That again, Solomon said, is emptiness, meaningless, is a chasing after the wind. He said, when you try to seek this path of doing experiment, there are two ways to do it. You can do it in wise way, you can do it in foolish ways. What is the wise way? The wise way is to always keep your mind open. When you're enjoying, keep your eyes open and try to reflect. What's the foolish? First, just don't think. Just do what they want. Just immerse in that and don't think at all. Do whatever you want, anytime you enjoy it. So there are two ways to seek pleasure, King Solomon said. And he tried both already, he said. And what's the conclusion? Which way is the better way? The wise way. For sure. If you want to enjoy life, try to do it wisely, not the foolish way. Because if you try to use the foolish way, very soon you pay the piper. You have some problems. We talk about drug, for example. Drug get you high, right? Overdose it, kill you very quickly. So when you try to have fun, have pleasure, try to do it wise way. In many ways, keep your eyes open. Give your mind clear. So as you go and enjoy, just keep reflecting. Sometimes you have to restrain. All right? Really, that's the way to enjoy life. If you really want to have fun, there are two ways to do it, foolish way and wise way. And wise way is better than foolish way, as you said. It's just light, better than the darkness. But he go on and make a very interesting conclusion. He said, although their wise way, their foolish ways, well, he said, sadly, they came to the same conclusion. These people have the same fate because they will all one day die. Like the fool, the wise too must die. All this toy is meaningless. Shane and I one time go to Rome, Italy. And one of the local brothers, they took us to a very interesting museum. Of course, we went to this normal sightseeing like Vatican and the Colosseum. Of course, we went there. But this brother is interesting because he's Christian. He took us to one interesting museum. Do you know what's the name of the museum? The name of the museum is called the Skull Museum. The whole museum is built by skulls, human skulls. It's ugly. You go there, you get scared already. All the things, real skulls I talk about. The real bones and skulls, heaps of them everywhere. It's called Skull Museum. And in front of that, there's one inscription. What is that? They said, just like they're talking to you. Hey, you know what? Our past is your present. We also have a glory days, as you are very glory right now. So our past is your present. And our present is your future. One day, you also belong here. Very scary, right? But that's true. These were kings, great scholars, but they end up here. So our glorious day are just your present glorious day. But I tell you, our present situation will be yours. And you think deeply, what is life? All these things, whether you're wise and foolish, you end up the same. Just a piece of bone on the wall. So if you want to have fun, try to have fun, nothing too deeply. Otherwise, you get into a a blind alley. There's no way out, right? As you're very intelligent, when you explain all these things, you have all this joy, what happened? It's just like, who is this guy? Ernest Hemingway. You know him, right? One of the greatest scholars produced by America. And he won the Nobel Prize for literature. Very intelligent, very artistic, very wise person. And how he died? He killed himself. You know, serious, successful people, many serious, successful people commit suicide. Because it's just a big conscience. On the outside, they're very successful. They are even idolized by people because they're rich, they're successful, they're powerful, they achieve a lot. But deep inside, they feel emptiness. It does really satisfy. That conscience is big. And when there's no way out, what happened? They kill themselves. Oh, Dr. Kwok, you're all preaching very pessimistic. No, I'm going to save the best. So nothing satisfying life? Grand sister, there is something. What really satisfies? You want to see the conclusion? The conclusion actually is very short. Just several words. Now, the whole book is Ecclesiastes talk about this experience, but every now and then pay attention, because this is a very wise man. Every now and then, he gives you the secret of life. Let's read it out, what he said, Solomon, his conclusion. Let's go. A person... Do you know what he tried to say? Maybe the translation is not as clear, but in another translation it's very clear. That is, in the things you try to enjoy, it will never satisfy you. In the things you enjoy. But there's one way that you can feel real enjoyment. It's to reflect upon your own selves. Because deep in your heart, there's one hole. As one philosopher said, it's an analogy that every heart has a hole. That hole is reserved for God. When human sins, God levels that hole is empty. And you try to fill that hole, you other things. You have used fleshly pleasure, you have fame, you have a drug, you have wealth, you have a career, but never will satisfy this hole, because this hole is not supposed to be filled by other things except God. So if you try to chase all things, try to satisfy, the answer, the conclusion is chasing after the wind. It's never going to fill this hole. You will always find emptiness. But tell you how you get this fulfillment. Invite God back to your life, back to this hole. When this hole is filled, you feel that, okay, there's peace and joy in you, because that hole is not supposed to be for other things. It's by God Himself. When you invite God to be at peace with you, you feel the joy and peace. And then if you do that, then let God guide you to see things, guide you to have food, have a career, have marriage, and then everything starts to shine. Everything seems to fulfill. Everything seems to be substantial, because God is in that. Apart from God, is all vanity, because God created all the things. Leaving God out, you have just the wind to grab. But if you let God fill your heart and let God guide your life, and your God experience different kinds of life and things, marriage, work, you feel anything, small and big, you feel satisfying. The key is God in you and God with you. Let me conclude with a message to give you another term. I don't know whether you heard about the word hedonism. Have you heard about one called hedonic paradox? No? Anybody? All right. So at least I tell you something you don't know. The reason I know is because I minor in philosophy in college. What's hedonic paradox? It's a very interesting thing. They observe there's a paradox in life, hedonic paradox. And it means that if you try to aim your life to seek pleasure, you will not be very happy. If your life is to seek pleasure in your life, you will not be very happy. However, your life is not to seek pleasure of yourself. You try to seek other people's pleasure, you'll be very happy. Can you see the paradox? If you try to pursue that, you got nothing. When you do not pursue that, you got it. That's called hedonic paradox. When I was in high school, I struggled with this issue, because I want to make good sense of life. I tried very hard to study hard, but every day I had to wake up very early in the morning. I was just tired. So I indulged in reading martial novels, squander my time. I want to enjoy life. But my mother and my parents give me pressure. You have to study. I want you to be a doctor. So pressure go on. So every day I have to face with that. I don't like it, because it's very painful. So when I reflect on that, what I'm doing after the day, even if a doctor, I make a lot of money, so what? One day I'll die. I look very far ahead. Because I'm a deep thinker. So mother tried to convince me to work hard, but I said, mother, if I work hard, even if I'm rich, a big doctor, so what? One day we'll get old and I'll die. Means nothing. So I feel very empty until one day I step into a church and read the Bible and said, no, what really satisfies you is not what you pursue outside. It's in you. It's God back to your heart. So let me finally give you one principle of life. You may not feel that right now, but believe me, this is years of my experience. What is real happiness? The more you please God, the happier your life will be. Believe me. If your life is not just a fun, just go and have fun. If you have fun running around, then all this you end up having emptiness. But your life is not just having fun. You try to, God, how can I please you? How can I worship you more? How can you be in heart? How can I serve other people? How can I serve you so as to please you? If you do that, you will become happier and happier. Believe me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for us and brothers and sisters to worship together. Fulfill us with our life, with you yourself. Because the real joy is in you. We are created for one purpose. It's to love you and serve you. It's to glorify you. I pray especially to our young people here. There are a lot of things they have not experienced yet. But let King Solomon teach them. I am there. Believe me. Don't waste your life to test the experiment, because I have done the experiment already. Go fast. Grab the essence of life. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen.